But I think for us Finns, the importance of nature brings a lot of happiness in our lives. We are lucky to live in a country with lots of natural beauty. And we are only 5.5 million people in a country which is actually eighth largest land area in Europe. So we have a lot of land. We have a lot of forests. 70% of our country is covered with forests. We have a lot of lakes, 188,000 lakes in the country. So a lot of water. And we have 70,000 islands in our coastal archipelago, which is one of the largest archipelagos in the world. So we have a lot of natural beauty.
Welcome to Zestful Aging, where I speak with fascinating people from all over the world, from every walk of life, who will inspire you to live with zest. I'm your host, Nicole Christina, and my mission is to bring you optimism about aging and help you make full use of the new opportunities that only come at this stage of life. To find out more about the podcast, hop on over to zestfulaging.com. And while you're there, sign up for my weekly email newsletter, The Insider, where you will get fun and quirky tidbits about the show and my exploits, including when I went python hunting in Florida and my participation in the National Senior Games. And if you love the podcast, I'd be grateful if you shared it with your friends. Our music is courtesy of Judy Banker, who was a previous guest on the show. Find out more at judybanker.com. And our technical director is Stephen Littweiler. Hey, Zesties. Hey, check out my brand new YouTube channel. I'm sharing Zestful Aging longevity tips, usually while hiking with my dogs, but I'm also sharing about the upcoming guest, the one that's coming up the Saturday following, and I get to tell you some inside stuff about them and what you're going to enjoy about their interview. So come on over, check it out. It's under Zestful Aging on YouTube, and I look forward to seeing you there.
Well, you've probably heard that Finland has been named the happiest country for the 6th year in a row. What is their secret? And how can we learn from them? Today, I have the special honor of interviewing Heli Mende, the head of Visit Finland North America, and we're going to get the inside scoop of how Finlanders stay so happy. Welcome to the show, Heli.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. Great to be here.
Congratulations. You must be especially proud to be a Finn. After winning the happiest country yet again?
Well, I think we are actually, again, a little bit baffled. We are very honored, obviously, but we're still baffled. How come this keeps happening to us? Especially during the first years, we couldn't believe it. We're like, okay, so if we're the happiest ones, how bad is it going for the other guys? But I think by now, after the 6th year, we're starting to believe that yes, this is, we are actually living in a great country, and it is a big honor for us, obviously.
Is there a consciousness among Finns that you have figured it out and you've got it pretty good?
I don't think so. We're very humble people. Mm-hmm. I think we are constantly, like I said, we are wondering, okay, what is it so much better than we are having in Finland? And we're kind of discovering those things as well, because we take those things for granted as well, because we've always lived as my generation and some older generations already as well have experienced this wealthy lifestyle that we are able to have in Finland at the moment. It has, of course, not always been like that. Finland has been a very poor country. We've had really hard times during the world wars and the beginning of our independence. But now we are one of the wealthiest countries in the world. And I think we have to remind ourselves to be happy about that as well.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about some of the elements of the happiness. What Could you break it down for us, Hallie? Why are Finns living such a happy life?
Yeah, I think there are two things to consider. First of all, the happiness report is a report of countries and the country level. So it's measuring certain indexes like education, social security, corruption rate, homelessness, and things like that. And Finland is scoring really, really well on all those. I mean, we have a really great education system, equal and free for everyone, including the universities. We have a really good social security system. We have the universal healthcare, although we have, like all countries have issues with their healthcare, but it is available to everybody and it's almost costless as well. And then we have very low corruption rate. We have almost non-existent homelessness in Finland. So all the fundamentals are there in Finland. Then the other element is, of course, the personal happiness. And that is a very personal thing. Everybody understands happiness in different ways. Mm-hmm. But I think for us Finns, the importance of nature brings a lot of happiness in our lives. We are lucky to live in a country with lots of natural beauty. And we are only 5.5 million people in a country, which is actually eighth largest land area in Europe. So we have a lot of land. We have a lot of forests. 70% of our country is covered with forests. We have a lot of lakes, 188,000 lakes in the country. So a lot of water. And we have 70,000 islands in our coastal archipelago, which is one of the largest archipelagos in the world. So we have a lot of natural beauty. And we do appreciate that. That is such an important part of our lifestyle and our lives. And it brings a lot of happiness to us Finns. It is a way to recharge ourselves, to spend time outdoors in the forest or by the sea or by the lakes on the islands. It just maybe helps us recharge us ourselves, and it also brings a lot of joy to us.
So there's a real recognition that nature is important.
I think it's so rooted in the Finnish lifestyle that it's one of those things, like I mentioned earlier, that we take for granted. We don't even think about it. But I have been living now for 4 years in New York City because of my work. And I can now understand that actually how easy it was for me before, just, you know, step out in the evenings to take a walk in the forest, because the nature is everywhere, even mm-hmm. in Helsinki, where I have my second home, or during the weekends, you know, go for hikes or go to the seaside. In the city, in a big city like this, you don't have that available for you as easily.
And you're it sounds like you're craving that.
I am, especially during the pandemic. It was really tough. I was hoping to be able to spend time in the forest and somewhere where I have something green.
Something green. Do you want to talk a little bit? I know that we talked off mic about some of the research, that it's not just trees are pretty, but there's some real research that connects health and being in green spaces.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's been actually, you know, through scientific research shown that spending time in the forest amongst the trees lowers your blood pressure and improves also your moods. So to kind of, some people call it forest bathing. We call it just going out for a walk in the forest. But it's the same issue, basically.
You just call it walking. And of course, you're known for your saunas. Yes. Tell me about the sauna culture.
That is such a big part of our lifestyle still. I mean, it dates back thousands of years ago when our forefathers started to built earth pits, or sort of, you know, earth pits which they heated with an open fire, so they had some warm place to wash themselves during the harsh winter conditions. But then, of course, it evolved. They realized at some point to start building huts. Those first huts didn't have chimneys at all, and they actually called smoke saunas. So you basically heat it as hot as possible. Mm-hmm. It's full of smoke, and at some point they open the doors and then let the smoke out, and then you go inside there to enjoy the warmth of the sauna. Then they figured out to build the chimneys, and that's how we have now the modern saunas, with the first one, of course, being wood heated, and now we have the electric sauna. us, which don't obviously need the chimneys. But yeah, there's been a lot of development on that front. But it is really a big part of our lifestyle. And in a country of 5.5 million people, you have saunas everywhere. We have 3 million saunas in the country, which is more than passenger cars.
What a great, that's a great comparison.
Hi, everyone. Have you listened to my interviews with Dr. Bill Rawls? He's been on the show twice, and after I read his book on cellular health and learned about his high standards for quality control, I was sold. I placed an order for Vital Plant supplements immediately. And I encourage you to learn about his work by hopping over to vitalplan.com. If you enter Zestful15, they will give you 15% off your first order. I'm excited for you to try these products. I think you're going to be very impressed. Now back to the show.
So I am not terribly familiar with saunas and health. Can you educate me a little bit about why saunas are so beneficial?
First of all, for us, well, like mentioned, originally it was more or less built for practical reasons to have a warm place during the cold winters. But then I guess our forefathers discovered that it actually helps to relax as well. It helps you to relax your muscles after hard days of work. And I think that's one of the best benefits, in my opinion. Then combined to the sauna, usually you have the cooling element. So you spend some time in the hut and then you go outside. If you are by the lake or by the sea, the most essential element is then to have a dip in the cold water and to cool your body. Uh-huh. And then so you have the variation on hot of cold. Our thinking is that helps to boost your immunity. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of people in Finland who are raving about polar bear dips, meaning cold ice water swimming in the winter time. Some of them don't even need the sauna. They just go and dip themselves in the ice water. And that is supposed to help your to build your immunity quite a lot. But yeah, that's basically one of the things. But I think the relaxing part of it is that the most important for us. So that's why we go to sauna. It's kind of a place where we forget our sorrows and worries and stress from the week. Saturday evening sauna is a very traditional thing for a lot of families all over the country.
With the family.
Yeah, it depends on, of course, in some families, it depends on the people and the person. You go in the sauna as a family, even the small children are already introduced to sauna. Of course, when they're small babies, they just don't, we take them in just for a little while and with the lower temperatures. But even already toddlers are quite, experienced sauna goers in Finland. And sauna has also a lot of sort of, it has a spiritual meaning for us as well, because sauna was the place where women actually gave birth in the old times, because it was the most hygienic place. Because it was heated hot, so the bacteria died. And it was also the place where the deceased were washed for their last journey. So it has sort of a cycle of life from the birth to the death.
I did not know that. So it's really a deeply meaningful experience.
It is for us Finns. It is, yes.
And what is the etiquette? When you go in a sauna, you cover up?
It depends on if you're, well, I have my little own sauna in my apartment in Helsinki as well, because we have nowadays a lot of apartments, even hotel rooms with saunas. So you can do it the sauna just on your own. Mm-hmm. Or if you go with someone who is, family or trusted friends, you don't have to cover yourself up if you don't want to. But if you go to sauna with people you don't know or you don't feel like comfortable going naked, then you cover yourself. You go in a bathing suit or with a towel. Mm-hmm. It's really depending on you. We don't have so many rules about going to sauna. Actually, there are no rules how long you have to stay there or how little time, because everybody's different. Everybody's tolerance on heat is also different. So I'm not one of those people who can stay in the sauna very long. I love to go out and then have a swim in the lake and then go back again and then go back swimming. But people are all different.
Mm-hmm. And is there a conversation or is it more of a quiet sort of sauna culture? Is it people just keep to themselves, or is it a place where conversation is likely?
It's both. It really depends on your mood. I mean, if you're gathering with friends and family, then usually it's not necessarily that quiet, but then you can also have your own sauna moment alone and just, you know, relax and just concentrate on your own well-being and in your own thoughts. So it's both.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, one of the things that you're talking about is such a great impact of nature. And I'm wondering about sustainability. What part does that play in your country's culture?
Because the nature is such an important element for us in our well-being and in our lifestyle, preserving the nature is also really important. Finland as a country has a goal to become carbon neutral by 2035, and we have a lot of sustainability programs in place all around in the country in different industries as well. But on a personal level as well, I think it's something that is self-explanatory for us, that we have to preserve the nature. We have to make sure that the future generations have the same possibility to enjoy the clean water, clean air, the clean nature surrounding us, because it brings us so much joy and well-being.
Mm-hmm.
So we have,
for example, what would that look like on it? If I come to visit, what would I notice that was different than other countries in terms of your sustainability practice?
I think you would see, first of all, that Finland is really clean. Mm-hmm. In most part, I mean, that we try to keep our cities clean, the nature clean. So that is one thing. Of course, there are always people who are not maybe complying with that, but most of us do. And that's really important for us. Mm-hmm. Another thing, which is a really big thing in Finland, and also in many other countries, but especially in Finland right now, is recycling basically everything. And also there is a big trend right now with younger people buying clothes in the secondhand markets, recycling clothing. But we recycle also, for example, we have a system where we recycle plastic bottles and cans. So when you buy in a grocery store or wine store, wherever, bottles or cans, then there is always a little deposit that you pay a little extra, but then you return. There are places all over, very easy access. You can bring the bottles and cans and then you get the money back. And 93% of all the plastic bottles and cans and glass bottles as well, actually, it's not just plastic, but also glass, is recycled. So 93% of all is recycled of that in Finland. So I'm really proud of that as well.
One of the things that your country is also very well known for is their beautiful aesthetic and design. And I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about what makes that particularly Finnish.
Yeah, I mean, Finnish design is quite minimalistic. It has but it has also a very functional side of it. So the design is not just for decoration, it's everyday design as well. Design that we use in our kitchens and basically, you know, in all homes, we have the most famous design items from Marimekko or Iittala and things like that. Mm-hmm. Fiskars, scissors, every home has those. And we consider those as part of our design heritage as well, because they are timeless design elements. And we think that they are beautiful. But that's, of course, a personal opinion. And architecture is also quite well-known, Finnish architecture.
Mm-hmm.
And Helsinki, of course, the modern architecture is maybe better known, but Helsinki, for example, has over 600 Art Nouveau buildings, which is more than in Brussels or in Barcelona. So it's actually a really great city to visit if you're interested in architecture and design.
I understand you have a beautiful museum of architecture.
Yes, we have a design museum, and there is actually a new museum under our planning, but it will take a few years before that is going to be open. But that there will be a new magnificent museum of architecture and design in Helsinki opening in a couple of years.
So if I were to plan a trip to Finland, one of the things I noticed is there's many regions with many different things to do. And of course the Aurora Borealis, which sounds absolutely fantastic. How would you even make decisions about what to prioritize? Are there people who can help travelers talk through what they'd like to do?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there are many tour operators and travel agents also here in North America who are familiar with Finland. So just the best way is to connect with your own travel agent if you have one, or even, find out which tour operators have packages to Finland. And yes, you are right. We have four different regions in Finland, Helsinki region being one of them. The capital city region, and the second one would be the coast and archipelago region with those beautiful 70,000 islands. Then the third region would be Lakeland region with all the lakes, 188,000 lakes covering most of the southern part. And then the northern part of Finland, which is called Lapland, that's mostly above the Arctic Circle. That's the name of the province as well. And all these regions are quite different, geographically as well. The west coast, where the coast and archipelago region is maybe not as lush. It's more flat, but very beautiful, especially the outer archipelago. Quite barren sceneries, but beautiful. On the east side, on the Lakeland region, we have a lot of forests. We have actually 41 national parks in our country in total. So there is a lot of forested areas, wilderness areas to visit as well. And then Lapland again, uniquely different sort of Arctic sceneries and Arctic nature to be experienced. And then we have the four seasons as well. So each of the region look a little bit different during different seasons. The summer being a little bit longer in the south, and winter a little bit shorter in the south and in the north. Then the winter season starting already early November and ending in end of April, basically. Sometimes there is still snow in May when people already are having picnics in the parks in Helsinki. So it really depends on also on the time of the year when you are traveling, and then what you're interested in doing when you travel. So if you're more interested in city break experience, then Helsinki definitely, and there are some other really great cities to visit, Turku, Tampere, for example. Or if you're more into nature and slow travel experiences, this is the way that we Finns love to have our holidays in the summertime. Just spend a holiday by the lake in the summer house and cultivating the art of doing nothing. So if that's your thing, then that would be a great combination. Coming to Helsinki and then maybe spending time in the Lakeland region. Or if you are into more activities in the summertime, going up to the north above the Arctic Circle is a great experience, because then you can experience also the midnight sun, because the sun doesn't go down at all for 6 weeks. So there is one very long day and you can do everything 24 hours. The region is quite unique, and especially for people who are into outdoor activities, it's a great destination to visit. And then in wintertime, the same region looks totally different with all the snow and of course, the Aurora Borealis, the Northern Lights experiences. The Northern Lights season actually starts already in end of August and ends early April, because that's when the nights start to get so light again that you don't see them. But as soon as the nights are dark enough in the end of August, you have the possibility to see them. And in Finland, there is a possibility to see the Northern Lights for more than 200 nights a year if the skies are clear. So, because the northern part of Finland is mostly above the Arctic Circle, and the closer you are to the magnetic North Pole, the better the chances are to see the Northern
See
Lights.
the colors. It sounds like a wonderful trip for a woman. It's safe. It sounds like there's so many things to do, and I know that there's tours for people, and but it sounds like a really wonderful thing that's outside of the typical experience. There's so much opportunity to see new things.
Absolutely, and yeah, I would say Finland is a true off the beaten path destination still, because it is not so well known in North America, but we have all the elements available for different types of holiday experiences, and like mentioned, for solo female travelers, Finland is a great destination. Mm-hmm. You can easily travel around with public transportation. In cities, we have great public transportation. You know, bigger cities have, Helsinki has subway and trams as well. We have great buses, and also there is a really good train network. And then, or you can rent a car. But nevertheless, whichever way you want to travel, it is easy for a solo traveler and safe as well.
That's a beautiful thing. And my last question, Hallie, is what does a cloudberry taste like?
It's an interesting taste. It's so difficult to describe. It is it's not sweet. It's a little bit maybe bitter, sour, but it is a phenomenal taste, and it is it has a lot of vitamins. So it's a real superfood as well. And we have actually a really traditional dish. We have this special cheese, which you can bake in the oven and put a little bit of cream on top of it. And then you put cloudberry jam or fresh cloudberries on top of it. And it's just a very delicious combination.
It sounds delicious. I love the whole foraging activity. We do that also in upstate New York with some of the ramps and the mushrooms, and it is so fun.
Actually, the foraging thing that you mentioned in the end, that was a good one, because I forgot to mention about that. That is a really big part of our outdoors experiences as well. So, you know, foraging blueberries and lingonberries or cloudberries whenever they are available, and wild mushrooms, that's a big thing as well for a lot of us. And then cooking food, the whole food scenery actually is also really, really big thing for us. But that's all. I think maybe we covered enough.
Well, Hallie, I would like to pack my bags and come right now. Right. It sounds wonderful, and I really appreciate your time, and I can hear your pride and your passion for your country, and congratulations again for winning yet again the happiest country in the world.
Thank you, Nicole. We're very happy about it.
Thank you so much for joining us on Zestful Aging. If you like the podcast, please share it with some of your friends. If you think decluttering could help you feel better and you could use a little assistance with that, check out the online course I've developed with professional organizer and designer Carrie Luteran. It's called Too Much Stuff. And too much stuff is different from other courses or articles or guidance you may have used up. We give you clear steps to deal with the clutter and the tools to help you face the overwhelming feelings and the emotions that come up when we're going through our clutter. And a lot of those emotions are just feeling anxious or guilty or just basically flooded with a lot of different confusing feelings. The course is really practical. It's realistic. The lessons are short and punchy, and they're really manageable. We're not trying to set you up for some long exploratory, you know, super in-depth, burdensome experience. We want something really helpful for you right now. We all need help with our anxiety. So being surrounded by more calm and less chaos can really help. So now's a good time to clear out the clutter so we can focus on what's really important in our lives. So find out more at zestfulaging.com. You'll see more about this under the web courses tab. If you have any questions, just shoot me an email at zestfulaging@gmail.com. Thanks so much.
And stay tuned next week for another interview with a fascinating and inspiring guest.